I'm very happy now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Tracy Neal. He is a horticulturist and landscaper, and he's teaching a series of classes in preparation for the coming growing season. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte, on this lovely day.
On this lovely day, indeed. Now, when you are teaching classes, you're kind of orienting them to people who maybe don't have that much experience, who are newcomers who might have come from a very different climate, different soil conditions, maybe new homeowners. What are some of the things that those folks really need to know? Where do you start?
I start with giving them an idea of what it's like here in Santa Fe and the kind of things they need to take into account when they're going to do landscaping and gardening here. Basically soil, climate, water, all those things that for a lot of people are radically different than where they came from. I get a lot of people who are from back east or California or Oregon or places where things grow without a whole lot of work.
Yeah, you flip a seed onto the ground.
Yeah. So I clue them into the fact that landscaping here is a whole different reality, and there are certain things you have to deal with if you're going to have a viable garden.
And there are certain things that if you try them, it's sort of like trying to plant a palm tree in Canada.
Yeah, right. not a lot of roadies around here. that comes into play when I'm talking about soil and climate. It's like, and giving people a picture of, you know, given these parameters of soil and climate, what works here and what doesn't that you might have come from.
So it comes down to soil in a very big way, soil and water. What is our soil here like?
Soils tend to be moderately to, they're never, well, a few places they're highly alkaline. They're mostly moderately alkaline here, and we don't have much humus and much organic matter in the soil. So people come here from places that used to be forests, used to be dense grasslands where there's lots of organic matter, and the soils are more acidic because it rains, and it's like, nope, whole different ballpark here with the soil.
And so, I mean, what do you do? It seems like there's two choices. Either you bring in organic matter, or you grow things that already grow in this kind of soil.
Those are the two. You got it. Actually, if you're trying to grow vegetables or anything that you're pushing for maximum production, then generally you have to improve the soil. And organic matter is one of the things. Proper mineral balance is the other. But there's more and more of a movement towards using native plants that are adapted to the soil because they're easier to grow and they're better adapted to the climate and so on and so forth.
So when you try to improve the soil, I mean, if somebody's just moved here, they don't have a compost pile that they've been adding to over many years.
Right.
So what do they do? What do you do?
There actually are a couple of places that sell decent commercial compost, which is a good thing that's changed since I moved here, that you can actually buy a usable compost here that's worth having and putting in the soil. But I always urge people, if they have any inclination, to start their own compost pile and start recycling the organic matter that comes off the site and turning it back into something the site can use. Doesn't necessarily have to be broken down completely to compost. If things are partially composted down to the point where they can be used as mulch, that's great.
Now, what grows well in the soil that we have here?
60 trillion different plants. New Mexico has an incredibly diverse palette of plants, and that's one thing that people need to get onto, is like, using natives doesn't mean there you have three choices of shrubs and two trees. It's like, I'm working on a low water use plant list for Santa Fe right now, and a lot of it is natives, and it is amazing how many choices we have, especially when you get down to the level of wildflowers and perennials. But even deciduous shrubs, evergreen shrubs, there are not that many big deciduous trees that are native because the deciduous trees are down in the bosque.
Right.
So up here, yeah, there's not a lot of things, big deciduous trees that grow up at our level with this level of rainfall. But there's tons of other things that you can use that are native.
Then there's always the Siberian elm.
There certainly is, and they will probably always be here.
And they will always be here. Yeah. They are so hard to get rid of.
Indeed. Yeah.
Now, when people say, oh, when you say, okay, so there's all these plants and wildflowers and everything, I mean, can you go out into a field and just dig them up and bring them into your garden? I mean, how does that work? Do you have to buy the plants?
A lot of them don't transplant very well from the wild. Plus, it's generally speaking not a great idea to go rip off the wild land so you can plant something in your garden. You can buy seeds and or plants for an incredible array of native plants. I remember, oh God, what was it, 40 years ago or so, 35 years ago, when Gail Haggard brought in some tiny little perennials when she had just started her business and I was running a nursery in Albuquerque. And she had these little bitty perennial wildflowers. And it's like, what are these? I had no idea what they were. Well, now the selection is amazing. It's like both in plants and in seed, there are so many things you can use. It's incredible.
There are also practices for watering, and part of that is what you do on the ground, like mulch, and also the interaction of plants, what you plant together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of these days, when I retire, as we've discussed, one of these days I'm going to be the kind of naturalist that I've met in the past, where I can walk out onto the land and know everything that's going on with all the native plant communities. But at this point in time, I don't. But basically, studying what's going on in nature and seeing how the different parts of the ecosystem sort themselves out and work together is a great way to get grounded here. It's like, yeah. Oh yeah, the desert is not this barren reality around us. It's incredibly diverse.
And, for example, if you plant things that provide a little bit of shade, then stuff under them grows a little better mm-hmm. if it needs mm-hmm. shade.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, things sort themselves out where they will prosper in the ecology, and that's a nice thing to keep in mind as people are building gardens, is like, who benefits who here as I put them together?
Right. Now, what are some of the practices for water use and water conservation? I mean, basically, if you are trying to grow a garden in Santa Fe, you're trying to do a little bit of landscaping around your house, you're going to have to water.
Oh, yeah. At least to get anything started,
yeah,
even
exactly.
the natives. But that's why it's interesting, because water harvesting and water reuse is now kind of at the state where solar energy was back in the early 80s, where people are beginning to realize, oh, this is really a great alternative to turning on the hose and using city water. And that will become ever more important as we go into the future. We're headed towards probably some major droughts where water restrictions are going to be in place. So maximizing the use of any water that comes onto the site is going to be really important. So there are now more and more companies getting into water harvesting, water reuse. And like the solar situation in the 80s, some of the people really know what they're doing, and some are just jumping on the bandwagon.
What are some of the actual methods for water harvesting and reuse?
It starts with what's called passive water harvesting, where basically you shape the land and you direct water that comes onto the site into places where it can be utilized by plants. So you basically move water that comes onto the site where you want it to be and hold it in the land as much as you can, and there are various ways of doing that.
So meaning in your yard you
yep.
make little kind of mini hills and valleys?
You can do that. You can take water off the roof and direct it through these mini hills and valleys. You can dig trenches in the ground and put materials in the ground that will store the water and make it act like a sponge. There's a thing that's called a pumice wick, which was an old idea, but we don't use pumice so much anymore. We tend to use scoria. But the idea is you run water into the ground into a medium that will hold it, kind of like perlite or vermiculite in a potting soil, that will hold it and gradually release it over a longer period of time. So it's not just what goes into the soil when it rains. It stays there longer and waters longer.
Right, and we've been talking about that with respect to agriculture on this program.
Mm-hmm.
When people build organic matter in soil,
mm-hmm.
They are so much more resistant to both droughts and floods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when water can go into the soil, move through it properly, and also be held by soil colloids and organic matter in the soil, then all the plants prosper better, the root systems grow better, everything works better.
Now, do you grow both, and do you specialize in both flowers and food?
I'm not as much a food gardener as a lot of people I know, my background has always been in ornamental horticulture and landscaping in that regard. But having grown up next to an orchard as a kid, I've always worked with fruit trees and encouraged people to grow fruit trees and investigated which fruit trees are going to work in whatever environment I'm in. So I'm always big on fruit culture, but I'm not a veggie gardener the way some of my friends are.
Yeah. Now, you also know a great deal about trees. That's one of your mm-hmm. specialties.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of trees? I mean, I think it's sort of amazing that we have apricot trees that are like weeds here. Everybody's got an apricot tree. Mm. Why do they do so well? It seems like that's something that you'd find in Georgia.
Well, if you look at where they're from basically that part of the Middle East, the old Soviet Union area, the stands, where the climate and the soils are very similar to us and to Western China, you know, that whole area across there. So they come from a part of the world that's similar to us, and they work incredibly well. So I always tell people, apricots are one of the most wonderful ornamental trees you can use here that occasionally set fruit because you don't count on them for fruit production, but they're incredibly well adapted.
And the reason that some years they don't bear fruit is because of the frost killing the
flowers.
They bloom
too
early.
They get frosted, yeah. That's the only drawback with it. Well, not the only drawback with apricots. They're also, when they do set fruit, incredibly messy. So you have to know where to put them. You don't put them over a patio because on those odd years where they set fruit, it's going to be quite a mess.
They'll fall on your head
exactly.
And fall all over the place.
Make a real mess, yeah.
We're talking to horticulturist and landscaper Tracy Neal. Now, you are teaching all kinds of classes, so let's talk about them for a moment. One is a set of classes that's being taught, sponsored by the Santa Fe Botanical Gardens and the Master Gardener Association, and that's at the Santa Fe County Fairgrounds starting on the 17th of February, and there's a couple of others as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one that's happening, the first one that is the longer course, is very exciting. It's called Landscape for Life. And it was a spinoff from the Sustainable Sites Initiative, which is sort of it's like a LEED certification for landscapes, for professional landscapers. And this class, Landscape for Life, is the version for homeowners who are not pushing to get government points and all that kind of stuff. It's how to create a more sustainable landscape. And it goes in six different classes. And over the course of the class, we teach people how to analyze their site, how to begin to design a landscape, what plants to use, how to work with their soil, how to understand how water moves on the site and what to do with it to maximize it. So it's this nice in-depth beginner's course for how you create a more sustainable landscape in Santa Fe. The other two courses are one-day, three-hour courses. So they're strong on information, and then people take it home and use it however they want. One of them is an introduction to landscaping in Santa Fe, and that is what we were talking about, how you understand what you've gotten into when you moved here.
Yeah.
The other one is a plant selection course. What plants are apt to work here now and in the future as it becomes hotter and drier?
I think one of the things that people really have to come to grips with is the fact that no matter how many classes they take and no matter how much they learn, some of the plants they plant are going to die and some of them are going to live.
That's right.
And that's probably true for you even after all these years of doing it.
Oh, yeah. I'm always experimenting. I'm always playing with new plants, and because they're introducing stuff to the trade constantly. So my yard is a tiny experiment station, and some work, some don't. It's like, okay, it's good to know that doesn't live up to what they said it would when it was introduced.
What about beneficial insects? Do you have, for example, information about attracting honeybees and things
mm-hmm.
like that?
Mm-hmm. That's part, especially of the Landscape for Life course, about creating a more sustainable landscape, because basically that whole approach is about creating a balanced ecology in your yard. And when you have the right ecological balance, then you're attracting the right beneficial insects and other things like that. So you're feeding the birds, you're feeding the beneficial insects, the whole thing.
One of the classes, one of the things you talk about is the role of materials in a sustainable garden. What do you mean by materials?
Talking about all the hardscape materials as well as the things used for irrigation. Everything besides the plants.
Okay.
So
what your rocks?
Yeah, the stone, the wood you use for garden construction, all that. What has the least negative impact on the environment to produce it or to get it to the site? So that's one aspect of this Sustainable Sites Initiative that has been taken into this class, is when you're going to work, when you're going to build a landscape, how can you think about the other materials besides the plants that are most environmentally beneficial to use?
What's some examples of that?
Oh, some examples are the, you know, forest certified wood products that are, you know, sustainably harvested. Of course, the best example is if you can find something on site that you can reuse.
Right.
That was there before. If you can use stones or an old fence or whatever was on site, and
right,
you can reuse it in your landscape in a way that works for you, that's great.
Or an old pile of rocks.
An old pile of rocks that somebody put in the back 40. And it's like, oh, I could use those to make a bed.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So you will be teaching these classes. How do people find out more and sign up?
Let's see. If they go to the Santa Fe Botanic Gardens website, they'll find out about both the Landscape for Life class and the other class I'm going to do there.
Okay.
And then this one I'm doing at Santa Fe Community College through the... What's the
Plants
the
for Santa Fe.
Yeah, the non-credit course thing. What's that
okay.
called?
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, it's like one's at the community college, two are through the Botanic Garden website.
Okay. So Santa Fe Community College, that class is April 18th from 9 to noon, and the classes, the set of six classes goes from February 17th through April 2nd.
Yep.
And then the third one is... April 4th.
Yeah, that's okay. through the Santa Fe Botanic Gardens.
Okay, great. So Santa Fe Botanic Garden and Santa Fe Community College. Now, if people want to reach you directly, how do they do that?
My email is Tracy Neal, TracyNeal, TracyNealSF@gmail.com.
Okay.
That's the best way to reach me, is just email me or go to the Santa Fe Botanic Gardens website.
Okay. Tracy Neal is a horticulturist and landscaper. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.